know how so many of us measure our lives in before and after. Before this happened, I was this. After that happened, I was that. Well, a snowstorm in 1987 changed Jamie Goldman's life forever. That was her before and after moment. She was 19 at the time, driving home with a friend from a ski trip when their car slid into a snowbank on an isolated northern Arizona road. The women were stranded and alone for 11 days in this snowstorm. By the time they were rescued, Jamie had suffered severe frostbite and she wound up losing both legs. But instead of accepting life as a paraplegic, Jamie began running. Yes, running on specially made prosthetic legs. Eventually, she became a competitive runner and an inspirational speaker. I met Jamie Goldman in 2001.
Running has changed my life. I was one of those kids where at my high school, we didn't have a track. So during PE, we had to run around the school. So I would hide behind building two or three. So then on the third and fourth lap, I could just wait. And then when the team, you know, or the class came by, I'd jump back in and I was done. Exercise really wasn't important to me. It wasn't a part of my life. I skied. I was a skier for about probably 3 years before this happened. Not great, but not bad. I was intermediate and I enjoyed it and it was fine. And when I was approached about running after I was an amputee for 9 years, I thought, this is incredible. I don't have feet. How can I run? And when I had feet, I didn't run on them. So this is this whole oxymoron kind of thing. What am I going to do? And I was able to get a hold of a videotape of some athletes that participated in the Paralympic Games in 1996. And I was in awe. I was completely amazed at what they were doing. And it felt like a really good challenge for me. And that's why I started to run. And it's changed my life in so many ways.
I'm guessing it's one of those things that doesn't look like it should be possible.
Exactly. That's how I feel. It doesn't look like it should be possible. And with the advancement of prosthetics and the support of Osir Flexfoot, a huge prosthetic company, and their technology and their research, they've put a lot into the athletes. And the athletes are able to test the products and give them reference points and give them advice, then go back and test them. And then they can model everyday walking feet. And they can also take it up a next step and develop running feet, and that's what they've done.
It's incredible. I mean, the beauty of God's creation. I mean, you weren't meant to put that kind of pressure and that kind of tension on parts of the body other than the soles of your feet. And it's just amazing that it works.
That's ironic you should say that, because when I first was learning to walk after I was amputated, I'm thinking, what am I doing putting this kind of pressure on the bottom of my limb? And it hurt so bad. And, you know, slowly it got better. And I'd say for the first 2 to 3 years, I used a wheelchair a lot. I had a walker for about 6 to 8 months. And after I was done with the walker, I still kept the wheelchair around at home because I went to school or I went to work and I came home and used my wheelchair. I wasn't comfortable with my prosthetics. It took a while. And even then, if you'd have told me I'm going to run and pound on them and really beat them up, I would have said, you're crazy. Why would I do that? My skin's soft and I don't want to abuse it. And now, you know, blisters are a part of every day. And I really have enjoyed running. It gives me a sense of freedom, sense of exhilaration, and also a sense of security.
And a sense of purpose?
Oh, it has given me a purpose in this life. I started to run with the goal of competing in the Paralympics in 2000 in Australia. When I was younger, I didn't really want to travel, but the Greek islands and Australia were so exotic that those were two places I would have loved to see. And so I was thinking, wow, I can compete in 2000. I mean, where I thought I'd be an old lady anyways. And you know, when you're 14, 15, it seems so far away. And it was really close. And that's why I started to train. It was a huge dream of mine to do that.
I know you're in show business.
Yeah, it's ironic how things happen. You know, I started to run for the sheer pleasure of it, and then I was approached about a commercial, and I was offered a commercial by Adidas that I'm happy to say I'm so proud of, and I've gotten wonderful responses about it. And then because of my running, I was approached to be a featured background extra in the movie Artificial Intelligence, and that was just a whole nother world. I mean, it was really fun meeting people and even actors and actresses that do it for a living and getting advice from them. And I didn't have a speaking part, but I'm in the background. And if you look hard enough, you can see me about a dozen times if you know what you're looking for. But it was another eye-opening experience because I know why movie tickets are $10. And I did, and I always complained before that. I mean, I know there's a lot of money put into movies, mm-hmm. but being on that set and watching what they did, and it was just absolutely amazing how they transformed so many different backgrounds into just incredible sets.
Well, just there's so many amazing things about the story that you tell. I mean, amazing from page one all the way on up to page, whatever, 250 or something. It's just, do you sometimes kind of step back from your own life and reflect on it and say, this is amazing?
I do. I think I have to keep myself grounded because I'm still just a person at heart like everyone else who's out there listening to this radio show. And I started running because I wanted to. I thought it was a great challenge, and it was hard work, and it still is. And a lot of wonderful things have happened to me because of the running. And I feel like, just like you said before, Bill, that it's my purpose, and it's helped me develop myself as a person. It's helped me become more accepting of myself as an amputee. Before I started running, I used to walk around with cosmetically covered legs. It's very important that I fit back into society. And if I didn't want people to see my legs, I didn't let them see them. And sometimes in the summer, in the middle of the summer in Arizona, I wear pants. And we all know it's pretty darn hot there. And running just changed my attitude completely. I have now grown to love and appreciate my prosthetics and be accepting of them. And they help define who I am today.
You speak to children a lot.
I love speaking to children.
They're very frank. They're very honest, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are. Yes, they are.
they ask the kinds of questions that I'm guessing most adults are just way too embarrassed to try to ask.
Oh, always. They don't want to overstep themselves. And even walking around in shorts and my metal's exposed and I call them my bionic woman legs. And I have children walking in grocery stores, pulling on mom, mommy, what is that? Why, what is that? And I'll take a couple minutes and just talk to him for a second because I'll explain. I had an accident and I was fortunate enough to find a doctor that made me these special legs. And now I can walk around and I can run and jump and play. And hopefully that 2 or 3 minutes I spend with that child will change their impression of people mm-hmm. that are different.
It's the kind of thing, astronauts always say the first thing kids ask is, how do you go to the bathroom in those suits?
Yeah.
Is there one question you're going to get every place you go?
I've had a couple kids have asked me what happened to my feet after I had the surgery.
That's kind of an odd question.
And I don't know. Yes, I mean, it's kind of a, but that's how, like you said, adults probably think that, but they're not going to say it. And I'll explain to them it was surgery and the doctors do whatever they need to do with my feet. I'm sure they dispose of them. I've been asked, do I want my feet back? And that was a hard one. And I feel at this point in the game, at this point in my life, no. I wouldn't give anything to get my feet back. I've had so many blessings come my way through hard work and perseverance, and I don't want my feet back. When I'm 60 or 70 and maybe I might be confined to a wheelchair and there might be some new technical surgery, I mean, I would use a wheelchair if I had to. I have in the past. But if someone said, we can take these feet and sew them onto you, I don't know. It seems a little bit morbid, I think, at times.
Yeah.
But at this point, no, I my prosthetics, those are my feet now, and that defines who I am.
Do you have to give thought as you get older to, the normal osteoporosis? I would think, in a case like yours, I mean, if you fall down and break a hip on top of everything else that's going on with you, it would be very catastrophic.
Oh, yeah, that would definitely have some problems to it. But
I didn't mean to plant bad ideas.
No, it's true. I mean, you have to think about the future, and that's something that was drilled into my head when I first lost my legs, when I was in the hospital. I think it was right before the amputation, they came in to me and said, do you exercise? And I kind of looked at him, no. Why? I'm getting my legs taken off tomorrow, my feet. Why are you asking me? Kind of frustrated. Well, you're going to lose about 25% of your body. And if you want to stay strong for the rest of your life, you need to change your attitude and you need to exercise. You need to weight train. You need to make your upper body strong. You need to be able to support your prosthetics. And really, at that point, it pretty much changed my mind. And then the running just took it up a whole nother notch in the last 4 years.
You look like a very physically fit person.
Well, I try. Thank you.
it really makes a lot of us think very hard about the things we take for granted. And it's going to be a long time, I'll tell you, before I complain again when I get home about how sore my feet are.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point because a lot of people approach me with that attitude and say, you know, I come home after work and I sit on the couch and I watch TV and I don't do anything. And, now I got to do this, this, and this. I feel guilty. And my biggest belief is you can't compare apples to oranges. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what kind of childhood you have. Maybe you have some kind of disability on the inside that I can't see. And if I can help you and inspire you to change your attitude and maybe want to walk more or educate yourself about physical fitness, that's wonderful. But I can't impose on people that you need to go out and do what I've done, because I've had this amazing, tremendous support system. And that's what's really helped me really become accepting of the running and take it to the next level.
Is that why you suppose you are not a more bitter person?
Oh, I owe it all to my grandparents and my parents. I mean, my friends too, of course, but having that groundwork, having that background, that support, that strength. I mean, my grandfather's blood's running through my veins because he donated blood when I was in the hospital. And in the hospital, when they were talking to me about exercise, he got right in my face and said, "Ha ha, I told you so." Because he had been trying to get me to exercise for years before. He always walked. He always went to the gym. It was very important to who he was. And up until the time he passed away, he always took care of himself. So when I was in the hospital, that's what he said to me. Guess what? You got to start doing. And he was very proud to help me with my rehab, take me to the pool for walking, and watch me change my attitude for the better.
I'm Bill Thompson. And now I've heard everything.